Without any further delay, I would like to invite our guest speaker for tonight, Sayyid Muhammad Hashimi from the Islamic Republic of Iran. He will be talking about the soft war against Imam Ali alayhi salam. Let's go ahead and invite him up with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, bari'il khala'iq ajma'in. وباعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على النبي الأمي العربي الهاشمي القرشي العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأراضين بأبي القاسم مصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد ثم الصلاة والسلام على آله آل الله واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أعداء الله أعوذ بجلال وجهك الكريم أن ينقضي عني شهر رمضان أو يطلع الفجر من ليلة هذه ولك قبلي تبعة أو ذنب تعذبني عليه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your deeds during the holy month of Ramadan and give us this tawfiq to understand the, inshallah, even a glimpse of the reality of the nights of Qadr. Before everything, this is the first night of Layal al-Qadr, the night of destiny. I know that we always hear about the Laylatul Qadr, always. All the years, okay, Laylatul Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, Amal, Laylatul Qadr, Amal, Laylatul Qadr. It should not become routine for us, something repetitive for us. Laylatul Qadr is a night on which a special happening, you know, happens in the universe. Something great happens in this universe. We believe that Tanazzalul Malaikatu wal Ruh, the angels and the ruh, you know, according to Quran, ruh is different from angels. Both, they descend on the earth. And this night, from Maghrib, hatta matla' al-fajr, until dawn, this is all salam. It's all peace and solace. And what does salam mean? It needs another discussion, inshallah. So we need to take advantage from all the moments of this night. All the moments. If it's possible for you, it's very good to avoid sleeping or negligence or being distracted this night, going to watch movies and I want to stay awake by watching movies tonight. No, this is the Laylatul Qadr. We have to take advantage from all the moments of this night. Mirza Jawad Maliki Tabrizi Rahmatullah Ali in his book Al-Muraqabat, he says that this is the night of thinking. This is the night of reflection. Why? Because another vault of this universe, which is called Alamul Mithal, the vault of Mithal, which is above this material vault, the gates of that vault are going to be open tonight. And this is all because Imam al-Zaman, because we believe that all the angels and ruh, they descend on the heart of Sahib al-Asr. And if it were not because of him, there was no dissension, no angels, no spirit, never coming to the earth. So this is a real night. We have to feel something. We have to take something from this night, inshallah, inshallah. So it's very good to reflect, you know, if we can perform all those a'mal, you know, according to your feelings and, you know, how eager you are to do so. But it's very good to, you know, have some hours or some minutes of just thinking and reflecting, thinking about the death, thinking about the other vault, thinking about the reality of Sahib al-Asr wa Zaman, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. So, anyways, we should not lose this blessing night, any moment of this night. And inshallah, for many people, for great urafa, they would start 40 days of observation of Al-Muraqabah so they can be able to understand the reality of Laylatul Qadr. And it happened for great scholars like Allama Tabatabai to understand, to see, to witness this descending of Malaika, of angels and ruh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this tawfiq bi barakati salawatin ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-athar. Inshallah, tonight, which is the night that the holy body of Amirul Mu'mineen was struck by the worst personality of human history, Ashqal Ashqiya. Inshallah, we first talk about the soft war against Amirul Mu'mineen. And then, inshallah, we do tawassul to his holy soul. And then, inshallah, we do tawassul to Quran. So the tawassul to Quran, inshallah, will be at the end of this member. If you have copies of Quran, it's very good to have the whole Quran, not just the pages of Quran. It's better because in narrations, we say that it is Quran. Put Quran on your head, not just one page of Quran. If you have a copy of Quran, inshallah, have it for the end of the member, inshallah. Soft war against Amir al-Mu'mineen. Before everything, we need to know that the conflicts, battles, fights are of two kinds. And it was like that since the beginning of the creation of the human being. The first and obvious one is the physical conflict, physical battle, physical war with the swords and, with the knife and the sword and spears. And guns and tanks, okay? But the second form and kind of war is the soft war. What is the soft war? The soft war is the war which concerns the mind of people, not the body of people. And it is more important than the hard war or the physical war. Why? All of you, alhamdulillah, sisters and brothers here are students of Hawza. All of us in philosophy, in even Ilm Usul, we read that insan, the human being, is al-fa'ilu bil-qasd. What does that mean? When we want to do something, before going to do that action, to do that thing, before that, like you came here for this majlis tonight, what happened to you? In your mind, you imagined the benefit of coming here. Then you accepted this imagination. You said, okay, it's okay, I have to go. After that, the passion and love of coming here came into your hearts. Because just accepting something does not drive you to do that thing. You know, on the nights, we always decide to say what? To perform Salatul Layl, okay? But in the same time, we see that sleeping is good as well. So this is the conflict of good things in our eyes. And that side with which contains more love and passion will be victorious. And then you act. So you imagine, you accept, you love to do that thing, and then you decide and you do that. So before everything, brothers and sisters, before everything, before every action of human being, we think about the action. Any action, even drinking water, even talking to our friends, and even greater things that we do in our life, deciding where to go to study, which job to choose, which spouse to choose for the life, okay? So the first thing for the human being is the conception of the expediency, of the benefit, of the action that is going to do. So if you are able to change the mind of people, if you get to change the mind of people, or somehow make them to think, you know, differently, you will be able to change the actions that they're going to do. So if you can change the mind, you will be able to change the actions. This is why for the human being, mind is more important than the actions. Unfortunately. For many of us followers of Ahlul Bayt, especially the religious ones, when we want to invite other people to Islam, we start with ahkam. So come here, this is salat. This is sawm. This is hijab. Just wait a minute. Before that, you have to shape the conception of the aqa'id, akhlaq, and ahkam of Islam. Then make him to salat, to do salat. Yes? And you know, this happens, especially between the different generations of Shia people, of Muslimin, the elders towards youngers. They always ask them to do this, to do not to do. But they just forgot that they need to talk to them before that, to shape their mind. And this is what Rasulullah did. قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلَهُ Firstly, and then Rasulullah told them to do what? أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ The first verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Who are the muttaqin? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Before everything, you need to believe in the unseen vault, and then الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ Before performing salat, saying the prayers, you need to believe the unseen. Okay. So for the human being, this conception, this mindset is more important than the action. This is why the soft war against mu'mineen, against the believers, is much more dangerous than the hard war. And the first person, the first being, who waged this kind of war against human being was who? Was Shaitan. You know, in the story of the creation, this is so interesting. We need to understand Shaitan more. In the 8th volume of Tafsir al-Mizan, Allama Tawatabai has a separated discussion about Shaitan. Kalamun fi Iblis. All of you know Arabic. Please go to Tafsir al-Mizan and read this part and portion of Tafsir al-Mizan. Kalamun fi Iblis. He talks about the Iblis. And then we see how much we are fallen in the traps of Iblis. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 20 to 22, there is a discussion, a conversation between Iblis and Adam and Hawa. فَأَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا Because Shaitan, Iblis, was telling them that, did God let you to eat from that fruit, the fruit of that tree? Adam and Hawa said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that you are free to eat from anything except the tree in the middle of the garden, in the middle of the heaven. What Shaitan said? Shaitan said, no, it's not like that. You know what is the secret between this tree? قَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ Allah did not refrain you from approaching that tree except if you touch that tree and eat from the fruit of that tree, you would become angels or you would become immortals. And then he swore to God, Shaitan, He says, وَقَاسَمَهُمَ أَنِّي لَكُمَ لَمِنَ النَّاسِحِينَ I'm a well-wisher for you. I want a better life for you. You misunderstood the things. This wasn't the command of God. This is the reality of the tree. And this is what led Adam and Hawa to eat from the forbidden tree. So, did Shaitan force them to do that? No. Never. He just talked to them, shaped that mindset. There is another beautiful conversation between Shaitan and the companions of the hell. In Jahannam, in hell, some people, they go to Shaitan and they want to admonish Shaitan that you made us to do those things and we ended up in hell. What Shaitan tells them, he says, La talumuni. Do not criticize me. Do not admonish me. Lumu anfusakum. Admonish yourself. He says what? I just da'awtukum. قَدْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I just invited you to do bad things, to sin, to the acts of the transgression, and you accepted. I just invited. I did not have any authority upon you. إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran. So what happens to the human being? The mindset, the conception. And this is the reality of deception. Okay. So it happened since the beginning of the creation. But when we look at the history of mankind and the history, especially history of Islam, we see the hardest and harshest kind of soft war was imposed against Amir al-Mu'mineen since the demise and the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The moment Rasulullah passed away, they started to wage that kind of war against Amir al-Mu'mineen, to distort the face of Amir al-Mu'mineen, to defame the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because you know, when we look at the battles of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Siffin, Nahrawan, and Jamal, in all those battles, the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen was much stronger than the army of the enemy. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he had never any problem in the hard war. Brave warriors, good equipment. You know, in many, many of those battles, the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen outnumbered the army of enemy. So what happened to this army? What happened to the government of Amir al-Mu'mineen that did not take more than 5 years? It wasn't the hard war. It was the soft war. The biggest problem of Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he was appointed as the Khalifa, the fourth Khalifa, as they say, was that since the ruling and the government of the second Khalifa, a new social class emerged in the Islamic society. You know, in the time of the second Khalifa, Muslims, they could conquer Iran, all those countries around Arabia, you know, Bahrain, Kuwait, Egypt. They even defeated the Roman Empire. So all those billions and billions of gold and silver from Persian Empire and Egyptian Empire and even Roman Empire, they came back to what? To the territory of Muslimin in Medina. Islamic State was the richest state on the planet. So what happened after that? They started to distribute this money, this wealth, according to people's position and closeness to Rasulullah, or according to the history of their battles in the time of Rasulullah. So me, as a warrior in the Badr, or Hunayn, or in Khandaq, I would gain more money from the treasury of Muslimin. My share was much bigger than yours, especially if I am Arab and you're not Arab. You're Mawali, you're Persian, or you're from other regions of the world. So what happened? A new class emerged. They had money, they had power, they had position. And many of the members of this class were the companions of Rasulullah. Even the companions that sacrificed their life, their body, their money in the time of Rasulullah for Islam. But gradually they felt that we have a right higher than other people. There are ordinary people and special people. Okay? Then Amir al-Mu'mineen became the Khalifa. He said, this is against all teachings of Islam, and I cannot stand it. Okay, I cannot tolerate it. It's against the teachings of Islam. You're a Muslim. I'm a Khalifa. I'm a Muslim. And that slave is a Muslim too. So our share of the treasury of Muslimin must be equal, the same. So what happens? Maybe to us, it's okay, it's easy. Amir al-Mu'mineen was a ruler, was a governor, and he was the leader. So he said that, and everyone would follow his orders. Okay? But it didn't happen. If they wanted to follow this kind of ruling, they had to leave many of their money, their position, their power. This is why all those problems began in the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Three parties, three groups of people, they started to defy Amir al-Mu'mineen and renounce his Khilafah and stand against him. The first one, and inshallah, there I want to talk about that software that they started against Amir al-Mu'mineen. The first one was the arrogant group. The group who made the Battle of Jamal consisted from high-ranked companions of Rasulullah and dear relatives of Rasulullah, like the wife of Rasulullah. They would say that, who said Ali has more right to be the successor of Rasulullah? We are closer to him. Our group, we are from the greatest companions of Rasulullah, Talha and Zubayr and others, and the wife of Rasulullah. So they started to call people and they gathered that army. And they started to say that to the people, that Ali is one companion and I am another companion. So in the minds of people, they started to, you know, somehow decrease the level of Amir al-Mu'mineen so they can go high. Okay? This is why in the camp of the adversaries of Amir al-Mu'mineen in Jamal, those people, they were somehow obsessed with the greatness of the wife of Rasulullah and the companions of Rasulullah. We have some, you know, narrations in the history that some of the tribes and groups, they would seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by touching the camel of the wife of Rasulullah, tabarruk, which is haram now, yeah? So they changed the mindset of people. Even they caused that massacre in Basra, killed tens of people, innocent people. And this was the first impact to the government of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because in the Jamal, one companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen came to him and said, this side, companions and wife of Rasulullah, and in the other side, you, one of the companions of Rasulullah. Where should I head, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? Clarify this. Clear my mind. And this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen says, اعرف الحق تعرف أحله. And you know, that person who came to Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm not going to mention his name, he was not convinced with the response of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He told Amir al-Mu'mineen, please send me somewhere in the borders of the Islamic lands so I can fight kuffar, not other Muslimin. This was the problem of Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know, in the time of Rasulullah, this was Islam and kufr, believers and non-believers. It was hard, but it was black and white. But in the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Amir al-Mu'mineen was fighting who? Muslimin. And not just ordinary Muslims. Companions of Rasulullah. This is why it was so hard for Amir al-Mu'mineen. It was so difficult. But he took this risk because he wanted the reality of teachings of Islam to survive. If it were not because of Amir al-Mu'mineen, even until now, we would think that the elder ones, Arab ones, the closer people to the Rasulullah, they have more right than the ordinary people. So there is no justice in Islamic society.
Amir al-Mu'mineen taught us that all of you are equal
in the eyes of Allah and in the Islamic society. And we don't understand that. Even our Sunni brothers, they owe this to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Why? Because if it wasn't because of Amir al-Mu'mineen, even they could not figure out what is the justice of Islam. Okay? The second group was the cunning and deceiving group, led by the infamous companion of Rasulullah, notorious man, Muawiyah. And it's so hard to talk about him. I don't know, maybe he was more smart, he was smarter and more deceiving than the CNN and Fox News and all those medias today. Because he had no media, he had no technology. But he could influence all the minds of people in Islamic land. Muawiyah, the second group, which was again Muslim. A Muslim group. And the third group was the party of Nahrawan, the Khawarij. Okay. Amir al-Mu'mineen faced these three groups, and Amir al-Mu'mineen's governance lasts just for 5 years. 5 years. And in these 5 years, he had three heavy battles. Just the battle of Siffin took somehow 1 year to end. 11 or 12 months. Okay? What they did against Amir al-Mu'mineen in soft war. The first thing is, brothers and sisters, all those groups, they tried to hid the virtues of Imam Ali and fabricate narrations against him, attribute those narrations to Rasulullah. We have some narrations in some of other books, like there is a narration. It is attributed to the Aisha, the wife of Rasulullah, and then to Rasulullah. That Rasulullah one day sat with the Aisha and told her, "Do you want me to show you two of the companions of the hell?" Na'udhu billah. She said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, show me them." Rasulullah said, "Just wait, two persons will enter this place. They are the companions of the hell. And you know who entered that place? Abbas, the uncle of Rasulullah, and Amir al-Mu'mineen." Hundreds of these narrations against Amir al-Mu'mineen. They even fabricated narrations for other khulafa or for other figures like Muawiyah, the narrations which were completely about Amir al-Mu'mineen, the virtues of Amir al-Mu'mineen. They just changed the names. It was Ali, they put the name of Muawiyah there. And you know, brothers and sisters, because it was forbidden for 100 years to write the narrations of Rasulullah, it was so easy to fabricate. Because there was no book. Sahih al-Bukhari, Muslim, Ibn Majah, all those, they came after this. So there was no document. You could just sit there and start talking about Rasulullah, attributing to him narrations. Like what Abu Hurairah did. So fabricating narrations against Amir al-Mu'mineen, so people cannot think highly about him. Because they knew if it was just the narrations of Rasulullah, and if people could be informed from the narrations of Rasulullah, all of them, they would believe in Amir al-Mu'mineen. There was no other way. Who is Muawiyah here? He's nothing. The second thing is, they tried to penetrate into Imam's follower circle. They started to work on the minds of the circle of the followers of Imam. Inshallah, we'll talk about this when I'm talking about the Battle of Siffin. Thirdly, they would spread lies about him and they would defame and libel the name of Imam. You know, in Damascus, in Sham, which was under the control of Muawiyah, those people, they started to believe in Islam by the Umayyad family, because the Ziyad
firstly conquered the Sham, Damascus, and then Muawiyah was the governor of Sham. So they had no idea about Ahlul Bayt. Their Islam was the Al-Islam Al-Umawi. Their teacher was Muawiyah. Okay? Muawiyah gave them a version of Islam in which Amirul Mu'mineen, na'uzu billah, was completely demonized. Na'uzu billah. He was a demon, na'uzu billah, for the people of Sham. So when they were coming towards Kufa to fight against Amirul Mu'mineen, they thought that they are serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they're going to defeat one of the greatest enemies of Allah. An isolated place in Sham. The first real Muslim, after some of the companions of Rasulullah, the first real Muslim who entered Sham and taught people about the reality of Islam was Zainab salamullah alayha and Imam al-Sajjad, after the incident of Ashura. There was no real authentic version of Islam in Sham. So Muawiyah trained people. It was the system of upbringing of children of Sham to make them believe that Islam is this version, Umavi version of Islam. Abu Sufyan is a good person, is a companion of Rasulullah. Nothing happened in Badr. Aliens were killed in the Battle of Badr. Okay? Not the Umavis. And Ali is the enemy of God. And he doesn't even pray. Not just Ali. He would say the same and propagate the same about Imam Hassan, about Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, on all the Ahlul Bayt. And brothers and sisters, what do you see today in those takfiri groups about Shia people and about Ahlul Bayt? Many of these words and teachings coming from Muawiyah. Right from Muawiyah. The big deceiver. This was the next thing that they did against Amirul Mu'mineen. Then it was so dangerous. They encouraged and deceived ignorant and superficial members of Imam Ali's army. You know, the army of Imam Ali, it wasn't just Miqdad and Ammar and Malik al-Ashtar. 100,000 of people joined the army of Amirul Mu'mineen in the Battle of Siffin. Different people, different groups, different tribes. It wasn't just Malik al-Ashtar. They started, especially Muawiyah, they started to work on the minds of those superficial people that they had not any deep understanding from Islam, to change their mind against Amirul Mu'mineen. This is so interesting and so saddening to us to know that Malik al-Ashtar, as you know, he was 10 steps away from the tent of Muawiyah on the day of Siffin. He was going to finish the job and take care of Muawiyah. In this moment, they started to put the pages of Quran on their spears and asking the army of Amirul Mu'mineen that let's go to Quran, reconcile according to Quran. Here follows some of the members of the army of Amirul Mu'mineen. They came to him and told Amirul Mu'mineen that Da'aka Muawiyah ila kitabillah. Muawiyah is inviting you to the holy book. Faqbal minhu. Accept that from Muawiyah. Amirul Mu'mineen said, Muawiyah wa ashabuhu la min ashab al-kitab wa la min ashab al-din. Laysu bi ashab al-din wa la Quran. They are not the companions of the religion and the Quran. But in the middle of the battle, that you expect your army, your soldiers, to be with you. It's over. We're reaching the victory. The deceiving enemy, by working on the minds of people, by knowing our groups, by understanding all those layers of the followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they chose very carefully and reluctantly, they chose best people for this agenda, and they worked on them, and it worked. They told to Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you do not finish the battle right now, we will kill you. Not the army of Muawiyah, not Shami people, the people from Kufa. It is so hard, brothers and sisters, in a battle. We have to be mindful. We have to be mindful. Sometimes it's you know, very close for us to finish the job. Just one of the followers of Ahlul Bayt says something. You see that in the north of Africa, in the Arabic states, other places, many people are going to understand about Shia, are going to get acquainted with the Ahlul Bayt. They know nothing. In North Africa, many of you, they know that better than me. North Africa, many of them, they know nothing about Ahlul Bayt. So a movement starts and they're going to understand about Ahlul Bayt. Then a Shia scholar, a Shia with turban, not a scholar, starts to slander wife of Rasulullah, companions of Rasulullah, with the filthiest words. Everything ends that easy. And very, you know, when you ask him, what will you do that? This is bara'ah. This is wajib in Shia Islam. This is what is so hard. So, there are other things to talk about, but we ran out of time. Brothers and sisters, it happened always, and it will happen, and it's happening now. Working on the minds and conception of the followers of the truth. And it's happening now. How can we respond? The subject of the next, inshallah, lecture, which is Jihad al-Tabin, is the response. If they are distorting the reality, if they are diverting the words of God, we have to clarify. This is our duty. We have to clarify. And this is what Ammar did for Amir al-Mu'mineen, inshallah, I will talk about this. How can we become Ammar? Ammar is the manifestation of Jihad al-Tabin. Okay? And inshallah, in the next session, I will talk about this. Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is the first night of Qad, 19th of the holy month of Ramadan. You know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he had the knowledge of unseen. We know that. And Rasulullah told him about what will happen in the holy of month of Ramadan. You know, there is a sermon at the final day of Sha'ban by Rasulullah for the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan. I think many of you have read this sermon. There Rasulullah talks about the beautiful words about the holy month of Ramadan. And then Rasulullah starts crying and weeping. Amir al-Mu'mineen asks Rasulullah, what happened, Ya Rasulullah? He says that in this month, your sanctity will be violated. Your sanctity will be violated. Amir al-Mu'mineen has a beautiful question here from Rasulullah. He says, Afi salamatin fi dini? Afi salamatin min dini? Will my religion remain intact when I'm being killed? Afi salamatin min dini? So we know that Amir al-Mu'mineen, he knew about the time of his martyrdom. And he was counting the days and nights on the last month of Ramadan that he lived. And the last of holy month of Ramadan that he lived. And you know, brothers and sisters, we have in some narrations that he asked Imam al-Hassan, which day of Ramadan is this day? Imam Hassan, like he said, like, this is the 13th day or 14th day. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, how many days are remaining?
So he would say, it's so close, I'm going to reach my love, reach my purpose of life, Amirul Mu'mineen would say. And you know, on a night like this, Amirul Mu'mineen was a guest in the house of his daughter, Umm Kulthum, Salamullahi Alayha. And it is said in the narrations that he would look at the skies from the beginning of the night, looking at the skies, looking at the skies. And he would say, وَيَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ مَا كَذَبْتُ وَلَا كُذِبْتُ وَإِنَّهَا اللَّيْلَ. I do not lie, and I wasn't told lie. This is the night. This is the promised night. وَإِنَّهَا اللَّيْلَةُ الَّتِي وُعِدْتُ فَلَمَّا تَلَعَ الْفَاجْرِ شَدَّ إِزَارَهُ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ. And he prepared himself before the dawn when he wanted to go to recite the last adhan, the final adhan in Masjid al-Kufa. This is the poetry of Amir al-Mu'mineen. أشدد حياي عزيمك للموت فإن الموت لاقيك ولا تجزع من الموت وإن حل بواديك. O Ali, prepare for the death that is coming to you. فإن الموت لاقيك. Death will meet you tonight. It is said that he got out of the house of Umm Kulthum, but the door and the walls and the animals, it is said all of them, they're asking Amirul Mu'mineen not to go to the mosque. Amirul Mu'mineen headed towards the Masjid al-Kufa, and he went to the Ma'adhana. It is the last adhan of Amirul Mu'mineen. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The beautiful voice of Amirul Mu'mineen. This is the last time that the people of Kufa hear this voice. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. Then he came down and he entered the mosque. It is said that he woke up Ibn Muljam, لعنه الله. And he then went to the mihrab. This is the place of ascension of Amirul Mu'mineen. Every day and night with the prayer, he was the manifestation of the prayer, Ya Allah. And he started his prayer. When he descended to go to the sujood, he said, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamd. But suddenly he raised his head. Ibn Muljam came with the poisonous sword, strike the holy head of Amirul Mu'mineen. It is heard that an angel said that تهدمت والله أركان الهدى قتل ابن عم المصطفى قتل علي المرتضى. But Amirul Mu'mineen was in peace, was in solace. Amirul Mu'mineen, what did he say? He said فزت ورب الكعبة. By the Lord of Kaaba, I succeeded. This is my salvation. I was searching for this. He fell down on the ground of the masjid. It is said that Hujr ibn Adi, the companions of Amirul Mu'mineen, Al-Hussein, they came, maybe Abul Fadl al-Abbas, they came and they carried the body of their father to the house. The
the face of Mawlana was covered in blood. Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla. But this is your teaching, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin. This is your teaching. You were in the house. The enemy was captured by your companions. Your family were safe. Your house was safe. You were in the middle of your relatives. Hassan was there. Hussein was there. Abul Faz was there. Zainab was there. This is the Laylatul Qadr, the Laylatul Sayyid al-Shuhada. Amma la yawm ka yawmika ya Aba Abdullah. It is said that Zainab Salamullah alayha, in a moment, final moments of Abu Abdullah, he was standing on Tal Zainabiyya, looking at Abu Abdullah soaked in the blood. Then suddenly the enemy came. It is what Zainab saw in that moment. She saw وَالشَّمْرُ جَالِسٌ عَلَى صَدْرِ الْعُسَانِ أَخْذٌ بِلَحْيَتِهِ يَا عَبْدِاللَّهِ. There was no companion, no relatives, no Ali Akbar, no Ghazal. Our master was all alone in the middle of thousands of enemies. This time Zainab could not stand this scene. She looked towards Medina and shouted, Ya Rasulallah, Salla alayka maliku sama, O grandfather, O Ya Rasulallah, Hada Husaynun bil araya. This is Hussein falling down on the burning sands of Karbala, maslubul imamati warada. Before the Amal of Quran, let's do tawassul to Abu Abdullah. Imagine yourself in Bainul Haramain, and let's recite this final salam to Abu Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwaakh allati khallat bifnaik. Everyone, alayka minni سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت لو النهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. From bottom of your heart, السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى يا أصحاب حسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. Now, brothers and sisters, prepare your Quran. Let's do this valuable amal of Laylatul Qadr, and let's do tawassul to the Holy Quran. Before doing anything, brothers and sisters, you have to remind that, please listen to me, brothers and sisters. You have to remind that Quran is not just a complex of papers and fonts and words. No, it's a living being. وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ لَدَيْنَا لَعَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ. This is a reality in this universe. So when you do tawassul to Quran, you have to be mindful that this Quran is a reality. So this Quran can intercede between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by this remembrance, by this kind of conception, inshallah, let's do tawassul to the Holy Quran. First of all, I will tell you, and you will open, inshallah, Quran. It has a supplication when you open it. And then, inshallah, when I told you, put Quran and hold it on your head and make this intention that this Quran purifies your head, your intentions, your mind, inshallah, in this night, inshallah ar-Rahman. And then we do tawassul to all the Ahlul Bayt one by one. And then you will, inshallah, ask whatever you want from Allah. This is the night of destiny, brothers and sisters. Whatever you want for the following year, for the coming year, this happens tonight and the night of 21st and 23rd. This is happening now. Do not undermine and underestimate this. Okay. Let's begin this amal before with the dua of Imam al-Asr wa al-Dhaman. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك وعلى آبائي في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وخافضا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه طويلا إلهي العاف إلهي العاف إلهي العاف with your pure intention inshallah أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Open the Holy Quran and hold it in front of your face and repeat this supplication after me. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم إني أسألك بكتابك المنزل وما فيه وفيه اسمك الأكبر وأسماؤك الحسنى وما يخاف ويرجى أن تجعلني من عتقائك من النار. Your Quran on your head and repeat this part of supplication. Allahumma bihaqqi hadha al-Quran wa bihaqqi man arsaltahu bi wa bihaqqi kulli mu'minin madahtahu fi وبحقك عليهم فلا أحد أعرف بحقك منك. And now we call the name of Allah and the name of all the members of the household of Rasulullah and the Rasulullah. This is the beginning of your supplication, whatever is in your mind and heart. Now ask Allah and swear Allah for the sake of these great people. firstly the name of Allah 10 times. Bika ya Allah, 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 bika ya Allah. Bimuhammadin, Bimuhammadin, Bimuhammad, Bimuhammadin, Bimuhammadin, Bimuhammad, Bimuhammadin, 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 Bimuhammad. Now say the name of Amirul Mu'mineen. For the sake of Amirul Mu'minin, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Bi'aliyin, 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 Ba'ali. Some scholars say that the secret of the night of Qadr, the night of destiny, is Lady Zahra Salamullahi Alayha. She is the reality of Laylatul Qadr. Now we want to invoke to her. Now we want to say her name, Ya Allah. Bifatimata, Bifatimata, Bifatima, Bifatimata, Bifatimata, Bifatima, Bifatimata, Bifatimata, Bifatima. Now the name of the stranger of Medina, مولانا الحسن بالحسني بالحسني بالحسن بالحسني بالحسني بالحسن بالحسني 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 بالحسن. Now the name of Abu Abdullah al-Huzayn. Ya Mawlai, Ya Mawlai, Ya Abu Abdullah. بالحسيني بالحسيني بالحسين بالحسيني بالحسيني بالحسين بالحسيني 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 بالحسين بالحسين بعلي بن الحسين بعلي بن الحسين بعلي بن الحسين بعلي بن everyone بعلي بن الحسين بعلي بن الحسين بعلي بن الحسين ابن الحسين بمحمد بن علي 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 بجعفر بن محمد 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 بجعفر بن محمد. يا إمام الكاظم, O the prisoner of Baghdad, Ya Bab al-Hawaj, this is the night of destiny. Please help us. Please help us. We have too many sins.
We're not able to wash this away, Ya Imam Al-Kadhim. You are the Shafi, the intercessor between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the name of Imam Al-Kadhim. Bimusa ibn Ja'far, wa ya Imam al-Rida, ba'ali ibn Musa, Ba'ali ibn Musa. Bi Muhammad ibn Ali. Ba'ali ibn Muhammad. Bil Hasan ibn Ali. Tonight belongs to the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Anything you want to ask, you have to ask from him. He is the source of the all the blessings tonight, Ya Imam al-Hujja. So let's call his name together. Now we can take the Quran off your head, and now whatever you want, you can sit. Whatever you want, whatever is in your heart, in your mind, every hawaij, the hawaij and the problems of the all the Muslimin and the Mu'mineen, especially the people of Yemen, people of Lebanon, people of Iraq, all those people of Bahrain, all those people who are under the oppression of the tyrannies of this world, let's do dua for all of them. Just some second, I just leave you to say whatever you want to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then inshallah we recite a dua together and end this part. Okay, you can say whatever you want to Allah.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. بسمك العظيم العز الأجل الأكرم، إلهي بربوبيتك وإلهيتك، يا الله 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 يا الله. Allahumma, you just say Ameen after this dua. Allahumma bi rahmatika fi salikhina fadkhilna wa fi 'aliyyina farfa'na wa bi kasin min ma'inin min 'aynin salsabilin fasqina wa min al-khur al-'ayn bi rahmatika fazawwijna wa min al-wildan al-mukhalladina ka'annahum lu'lu'un maknunun fa'akhtimna ومن ثمار الجنة ولحوم الطير فأطعمنا ومن ثياب السندس والخرير والاستبرق فألبسنا وليلة القدر وحج بيتك الحرام وقتلا في سبيلك فوفق لنا وصالح الدعاء والمسألة فاستجب لنا وإذا جمعت الأولين والآخرين يوم القيامة فارحمنا وبراءة من النار فاكتب لنا وفي جهنم فلا تغلنا وفي عذابك وهوانك فلا تبتلنا ومن الزقوم والذريع فلا تطعمنا ومع الشياطين فلا تجعلنا وفي النار على وجوهنا فلا تكببنا ومن ثياب النار وسرابيل القطران فلا تلبسنا ومن كل سوء يا لا إله إلا أنت بحق لا إله إلا أنت فنجنا.
We want to do dua for all the people who have problems, all the followers of Ahlul Bayt, especially our brother mentioned Sayyid Muzammil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free him inshallah with the glory and health inshallah and dignity inshallah ar-Rahman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma ahfad wa ayyid wa ansur qa'idan al-Khamenei. اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان. اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان. اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان. رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.